Welcome to the Mountain Grapevine program on WART Community Radio for Madison County, North Carolina. My name is Chuck Blethyn, your host for today's program. The Mountain Grapevine reports on all things grape and wine in the mountains of western North Carolina, and sometimes elsewhere. My programs will have interviews with movers and shakers in the viticulture and wine industries, as well as some educational sessions on wine etiquette, wine evaluation, and special value-added products that can be made from grapes. On today's program, we have with us two members of Red Moon Herbs, a local organization here in the natural products industry. We have Jeannie Dunn, owner of Red Moon Herbs, and also Heatherwood Buzzard. Both of these women have been involved in the last year, with me at least, on the board of directors with the North Carolina Natural Products Association. Both of them are relatively well-known people in the natural products industry here in western North Carolina. And so we want to hear more about this and how the business works and all about it. So Jeannie Dunn, tell us about Red Moon Herbs.
Red Moon Herbs is a local company, and it covers a lot of Appalachia, western North Carolina, Appalachia, and has been servicing the area for more than 20 years. Red Moon was founded by Karina Wood of Southeast Wise Women and Jessica Godino of Four Flames Healing, a local acupuncturist and herbalist. Together, they started making a lot of fresh extracts from common weeds that grow in the area. And special part of Red Moon is that we harvest, and within 24 hours we process in small batches, and we make sure we harvest with the seasons. So that tradition's carried on. We've just grown a little bit in size. We follow a lot of Susan Weed philosophy with making things fresh and using the things that grow around you. Heather may add to that. She's a big fan of Susan Weed.
Susan Weed, she's considered kind of the grandmother of herbal medicine in the U.S.
Okay.
She is. She's considered kind of a crone or a wise woman or a grandmother of American herbal medicine. And she focuses on using fresh plant extracts and really allying with herbs to make good, potent medicine that's something you can make in your kitchen rather than something that's like full of complexity.
Talk to me just a bit about how you learned about these natural herbs and tinctures and so forth that you prepare here in the mountains.
Okay. Well, I grew up on a farm down east, north of Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And so my dad lost his job, and my mom started doing homesteading. He built her a cob oven, and we baked bread, and we had bees with honey. So I've kind of grown up, and she was really fascinated with getting different trees and species and perennials, and a lot of those were herbs, a linden tree, and we raised strawberries, you pick, we pick. So, you know, she pushed dandelion leaves off on us at an early age, and I really kind of got away from it, and we pulled in the garden, you know, and weeded out and made room for the produce. But now it's like some of those things that were in the path of the produce is actually really medicinal stuff. So I came up to Western North Carolina and went to North Carolina School of Natural Healing and then One World Healing, and got really excited to, it's just such a great area. We've got some amazing herbalists and teachers and botanists in this area. We've got Sarah Foley with Appalachian School of Holistic Herbalism. We've got Corey Pine Shane with Blue Ridge. We've got Mimi Hernandez, who now is president of American Herbalist Guild, and the headquarters is here. She was chief of One World Healing before. So we've got, and Juliet Blankenspor is chestnutherbs.com. So wonderful teachers, a lot of botanists and wild food walkers, and that's why I moved to Asheville, to learn more.
Okay, sounds great. How about you, Heather? How'd you get knowledge in this business?
Well, my path to herbal medicine started, as it did for so many of us, with an illness that, you know, I tried and tried again to go to doctors and naturopaths and specialists and physicians of all kinds to get it dealt with, and found that really after years of searching and seeking for answers, the only thing that was making a difference in my life was natural medicine and specifically herbs. And so I was living on the West Coast at the time in the Washington, Oregon area, which is also kind of a sister area to the Appalachians in its interest in herbal medicine and also its botanical biodiversity, because it's such a temperate rainforest. And I applied and was apprenticed at Herbvon, the largest tincture producer in the U.S. You've probably seen the bottles in Whole Foods and many different grocery stores and natural food stores all over the country, all over the world. It's herb and then farm with a PH, as in pharmacy. But I actually worked with them and farmed with them on their 300-acre herb farm for about 4 months and kind of learned the ins and outs of the trade of the herbal medicine industry. And that was a very different experience from Red Moon, just in that our volume was barrels and barrels and barrels of organic alcohol and organic oils and 5 days of chamomile harvest in the spring, where we're all picking about 50 to 100 pounds of pure chamomile blossoms every day. So we were providing at that point medicine for the whole country. If Dr. Oz said something on his popular TV show about such and such an herb is good for depression, like lemon balm or something, then we would sell out within 2 months.
Jeez. Talk about impact on the market.
It was wild. It's a wild place. So that's kind of where my experience began. And then my husband and I moved to Appalachia to manage a 500-acre land space. And at that point, I realized that we were living in the second most botanically diverse area in the world, next to the Amazon, with debatably the oldest mountains in the world. And I fell in love with this land, and I fell in love with these herbs, and decided that I was going to focus my efforts on local medicine, which I think is just as important as, or more important than, the local food movement, which is so popular. And now I'm in my third year of clinical herbal training at the Appalachian Center for Natural Health, which is actually in northern Alabama, but I am taught by a fifth-generation herbalist in the ways of kind of traditional southern Appalachian folk medicine, which is very focused on using local medicine, using remedies that are in season, and using the remedies that are growing outside of your back door, whether it's dandelion or burdock or chickweed or wild foods or what have you. We're so blessed to live in a region where almost everything we need in terms of medicine is growing right at our feet. That's one reason that I love being here, and it's one reason that I've stuck with herbal medicine.
Well, sounds like you had a very interesting background too, Heather. Let me jump into some specific things here. As you know, the name of the radio show is The Mountain Grapevine, where we talk about everything about grapes and vineyards and growing grapes and making wine and that sort of stuff. But the reason I ask you two ladies on the program today is that I know from my experience in the North Carolina Natural Products Association that there's a number of people who are in the preparation stages of making various tinctures and so forth with these natural products. And I noticed that there is a use for grapeseed oil, and there's also a use for grape alcohol. And what I'd like to have our listeners understand is how you use grapeseed oil, where it comes from.
Suppliers.
Why does it have to be organic? And the same thing is true with the grape alcohol versus grain alcohol. So talk to me about the use of those things, which are grape-related, in the natural products industry.
Let's see. A lot of massage therapists really love using grapeseed oil in their practice as the menstruum or the main liquid part of the ingredient for their formulas. At the moment, we don't use grapeseed oil, but we would definitely be open to that. We are currently using organic olive oil. Olive oil has a long shelf life, and grapeseed oil, if kept in the refrigerator or in a cool, dark place, can have a longer shelf life as well. And since Red Moon makes some salves and massage oils and some are just simple herb-infused oils where there's one herb in an infused oil, the herb was harvested and processed by hand or with some small food processor fresh. We look to selling probably 20 to 30 gallons of various oils per year at the moment, and that number's growing. Poke root oil is one of our more popular ones, and it's very supportive of breast cancer. So we would be very open, because we're so serious about local, that if grapeseed oil were around here, it's pretty important to us that it's grown organically. And that's all of our bases, all of our menstruums are organic, the alcohol and the oils we use. As far as grape alcohol, that's another one we'd be very open to. And that has an extreme long shelf life. So an organic grape alcohol would be something we could use for sure.
When you talk about grape alcohol being organic, does naturally grown, meaning no pesticides or herbicides, suit the bill for that?
I think local supersedes organic. I'd prefer it to be local and organic, but if some small artisan or co-op of artisan grape growers in this area came together and said, we've got naturally grown and it's local, I would make it fit the Red Moon profile. We would make it work in some way, however much that could be processed. We would create a special line of 100% local. We did that with sunflower oil down east this year. That's North Carolina grown with calendula-infused fresh local flowers. And that became a facial oil, which we will launch this year, and also a soap with milked in North Carolina and made in the batches. Small batches are made in North Carolina. So everything from down east to the Piedmont to the mountains was North Carolina grown in those two products. I'd love to do more stuff like that.
Fantastic. Great. Well, we've got a number of people now who are looking at these specialty markets as we get more and more grapes in the ground. Of course, as you know, it takes five, six, 7 years before you start producing enough grapes to do anything with. Our vineyard here, we are not certified organic, but everything we do here is naturally. We don't allow pesticides and herbicides on our property anyplace, so we're very anxious to look at that as a potential market. Heather, are you going to tell us about your experience with working with grapeseed oil and grape alcohol?
Yeah, you know, one thing that I really find special about grapeseed oil is that it's very, very high in vitamin E and also polyunsaturated fat, which means that not only is it kind of food for your skin, you know, we want everything, of course, we put onto our skin to be food for it, because in fact our skin does absorb about 80 to 90% of what we put on it. So it is important that we put organic oils onto our skin, you know, just as much as we put organic food into our bodies. So not only is grapeseed oil kind of nutritious food for your skin, but it's quickly absorbable because it's just such a light oil in weight. And so it's easy to use in a salve or in some sort of ointment because the skin kind of has an affinity towards it already. So it is easily absorbed into the pores, and it doesn't have a strong smell, so it's kind of inoffensive and subtle and light and delicate. So that's one reason that I like to use grapeseed oil when making herbal-infused oils or salves, because as herbalists, we're often faced with, you know, just a couple choices of oils when we're making an herbal-infused oil. So it might be olive, it might be sweet almond oil, but if I were able to source grapeseed oil locally, I mean, that would kind of trump everything. As Jeannie said, I totally agree. You know, local trumps organic even, because it's the medicine from right outside your back door. So I would be very in favor of being able to access a local Madison County grapeseed oil. And then with grape alcohol, that's such an interesting subject, because during my time at Herb Farm, we were actually experimenting with using a grape alcohol in some of our extracts, just because of the way that gluten-free lifestyles have caught on in the last 5-8 years in the U.S. I mean, in almost every restaurant or grocery store, you're able to get gluten-free ingredients and gluten-free food. And for many people who are either on a gluten-free diet for various reasons or because they have celiac disease, it's really, really critical for them to be able to access tinctures that are made with a gluten-free alcohol, sugarcane alcohol, which has become a really popular gluten-free choice. But some of those with celiac, I've actually heard anecdotal stories that even with a drop of grain alcohol tincture, they'll have a celiac reaction. They'll have a gluten kind of hangover just from that very, very small amount of diluted grain. So being able to have a local option for people who are gluten-free in grape alcohol, I think, is very, very important.
Okay, ladies, we're going to take a station break at this point and be right back. Hang on, folks. Today's program is being brought to you by Winnie's Winter Insect Repellent. Those of us who live in the mountains have special chores to do to get ready for winter. We make sure we have enough hay in the barn to feed our cows through the winter. We also make sure we have enough firewood to keep the old wood stove burning until spring. Most of us never stop to think about dealing with the winter insects we have here in the mountains. Most city folks know because they have read the scary newspaper headlines about our winter insect problem here in the mountains. Snow flies in the mountains, you may have read. Winnie Wiggler thought about it this past winter and invented a winter insect repellent. Her ingredient list includes cinnamon, cayenne, bloodroot juice, and possum grease, among other things. Winnie says it's very effective against snow flies, chill chiggers, ice mosquitoes, frost fleas, and frigid ticks. One application lasts for weeks. I tried it this past January, and she was right. I had no problems with any of those winter pests. Winnie's Winter Insect Repellent is another special product made in the good old U.S. of A. here in Madison County, North Carolina. You can buy Winnie's Winter Insect Repellent today at Zuma's Cafe in downtown Marshall for only $1.298. And now back to our regular program.
Talk to me just a moment about where you've been buying your grape alcohol and where you've been buying your grape seed oil in the past and relative costs or shipping specialties or whatever.
I remember when I got started making medicine for my own very small apothecary, I was both shocked and kind of frustrated because I set out to source an organic ethanol alcohol, a high proof, 190 proof alcohol. And of course, I'm trying as best I can to source everything locally. But the only solution that I could find in the country was in Oregon from a company called Alchemical Solutions. And coming from almost all the way across the country from Oregon to North Carolina, that's not only a huge cost in shipping, but it's certainly not local. So as I was starting my own tincture business, I was kind of forced to choose this Oregon alcohol because it was the only bulk organic alcohol that was accessible. And there were really no other options at that point that I was able to find.
Yeah, I'll add to that that we purchased from Farmco Acre, and where they are, I think they may have a warehouse that's a little closer, maybe like Kentucky. And currently we did switch because we had some clients and customers who were concerned about organic grain alcohol. We switched to organic cane, and organic cane and organic grape from Farmco Acre are pretty comparable in price. Based on the size of the container that you buy, it can vary from $120 a gallon down to a huge vat that's $50 to $60 a gallon. But some of that is the excise tax that they don't ever see. It goes straight to the federal government. And that is a mandatory $25.60 per gallon charge. So the actual alcohol is about the same. If you buy in huge volumes, it's about, you're spending about $30 with shipping and excise tax and $30 to give to the person that manufactured it.
So the $25.60 is the excise tax that is collected at the moment it's sold?
Yes. You have 10 days to send that in.
As a buyer?
As a buyer.
Mm-hmm. Really?
But they have a deadline on when they have to receive that excise tax to give to the government. And then the freight costs, that adds to. So we try to get in a 55-gallon pail at a time, or two of those, and with 190 proof. And if someone were selling a 1 or 5 gallon pail, of course they could get that. Or a premium product, of course the price is going to go up. We need to work with 100 proof or greater, 150% alcohol by volume, 190 proof, 95% by volume, somewhere in that range. And then we just bring it, we add distilled water to bring it back to 100 proof. through getting a local product. And kind of the wise woman tradition, a lot of times Susan Weed uses, is it 80 proof, Heather, or 100 proof vodka?
She uses 100 proof vodka.
Mm-hmm. So it's really good middle-of-the-road proof. We'd probably be open to 120 proof, 100, 140, and then we could just adjust the recipe with distilled water if necessary.
Well, I've been able to get quotes now from several local distilleries on processing our grapes and turning into 100-proof grape alcohol. And so I'm still working on that with respect to packaging, sizing, prices, and all that kind of stuff. But it looks like we might be able to get that in that same range and have a local product. But that's coming maybe next year if we can get enough grapes going.
We did approach Howling Moon. Of course, we have to go buy it from the ABC store. And we did a limited edition couple of products with Howling Moon, but it's corn alcohol, and it's 100 proof, I believe, that they have. And
yep.
I really didn't want to go with the corn non-organic. But if someone does an heirloom at 100 proof, I'd be open to that as well.
All right. Well, this will be interesting for the potential grape growers here locally because, as you know, we're trying very hard to come up with a variety of additional products that can be made from these Katua muscadine and Katua scuppernong grapes that we grow here in the mountains. And everybody knows about wine. Everybody knows about juice and preserves and pies and that kind of stuff. But very few people know beyond that, that you can make up to 150 different kinds of products from these grapes. And as far as the local products go, I think that there is a significant little market here for somebody who wants to get into just supplying grapeseed oil and the organic grape alcohol from our local supplier. So that's where I'm focusing my efforts for this next year or two, is to try to get a couple other vineyards in addition to mine producing some grapes so we can start to do that.
Chuck, since I've never made grape alcohol or grapeseed oil, and I have no idea kind of the volumes that involves, could you give me an idea of just kind of, you know, how many pounds of grapes it takes to make a gallon of grape alcohol or something like that? Are there any numbers?
I can give you some rough ideas on some things. I've been working through this with a couple local suppliers, trying to come up with how this all works. First of all, let's take the grapeseed oil. That's the one I've been working on recently. What we found out is from most of the suppliers in North Carolina of grapes, muscadines specifically, it turns out that about 16% of the grape seeds by weight, 16% of the grape seeds is the grapeseed oil. And there are two different methods of extraction. One is what we call a chemical solvent extraction, where you actually use something like an alcohol or some other chemical to dissolve. You crush the grape seeds, and then you actually dissolve the grapeseed oil out of the crushed seed, and then you evaporate the chemical, and it leaves behind the grapeseed oil. I'm not particularly fond of that process because you're always going to have those residual chemicals in there. The process that I prefer, and I'm working with two different companies right now who are trying to work with me if I can get enough grape seeds to do this, is what they call cold press. And this is basically physical, mechanical compression of the dried seeds in order to extract the oil. And it takes on the order of about 2,500 psi of pressure in order to extract the grapeseed oil successfully from the dried grapeseed. So we're pressing on that approach as opposed to the chemical extraction. And the percentage of grapes that come out of, and say in a ton, for example, we have gathered the information that says we have about 135 to 140 gallons of juice that can come from muscadines and scuppernongs. And we typically get about 165 to 170 gallons out of traditional grapes. And what that means is we have larger seeds than the muscadines and scuppernongs, and we have also thicker skins. But fortunately, the seeds in the muscadines and scuppernongs are larger, so they represent a somewhat larger percentage of the total weight of the grape. So the actual number of pounds or gallons that we can get out of a ton, we're still working on that. But there'll be a slight difference between regular grapes, if you can grow them organically, versus the muscadine variety. So that's all I can tell you, and that's what I know at the moment on the grapeseed oil things. With respect to grape alcohol, We have run a first batch already through a still locally, and we've been able to determine that the muscadines, when they're fully ripe, they have a sugar content on the order of about 16 to 17 bricks. That means a potential alcohol of about 8 or 9%. So what happens there is that if you have 10 gallons of grape juice, you ferment it into alcohol, and you run that through a still, you're going to get about a gallon, a little over a gallon, for every 10 gallons of wine that you put through the still, an extraction of the alcohol. And the run that we did came out 147 proof on the first time through. So we're getting a pretty good handle on, you know, what the concentration is and what it works up to be. There's some discussion now about whether or not to add sugar, which I'm against, in preparing this special type of grape alcohol, because they will want to use regular sugar. It may not be organic sugar, but in order to kick up the potential alcohol, let it ferment, and then you'll get back maybe 2 gallons every 10. So my thought is I want to work with just the natural products and not have to chaptalize it, as it's called in the wine business, of increasing the amount of sugar so that you increase the amount of potential alcohol that you get during the fermentation process and therefore get more alcohol out of a batch. So that's sort of the sum total of the knowledge that I've been able to gain so far in our tests over the last couple of years here.
Wow, that's fascinating. It just goes to show how much work goes into every single step of the process. I mean, when you look, for instance, at a bottle of local medicine, at a one-ounce tincture, so many different hands have touched that product, and so many different farmers and growers and assemblers have gone into just mixing that one very simple herbal extract. That's incredible.
Thank you very much, Heather Wood Buzzard and Jeannie Dunn, the owners of Red Moon Herbs. How can we contact you? You've got social products, you've got phone numbers, you've got email addresses, websites. Tell us all about how people can reach you for getting involved with your products.
Sure. I'm at Jeannie@redmoonherbs.com. That's JEANNIE@redmoonherbs.com. You can go to our website, www.redmoonherbs.com. Our 800 number is 888-929-0777, or you can inquire at info@redmoonherbs.com, just generally speaking.
Or find us on Instagram at redmoonherbs, or Twitter at redmoonherbs, or even Pinterest at pinterest.com/redmoonherbs.
Okay, again, ladies, thank you very much for your time, and I'm sure the radio listeners will find this very enlightening, and look forward to working with you folks in the future.
Thank you, Chuck.
Have a good one.
This is the Mountain Grapevine on WART Community Radio from Madison County, North Carolina. If you have a friend whom you think might enjoy my program, tell them my Thursday programs will be rebroadcast on Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is Chuck Blethyn signing off for today. Cheers!